This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
8 minutes after 10, so we are going to talk now about proposed amendments to the Pension Funds Act. This is in response to the financial and socio-economic crisis brought on by COVID-19. There is a proposed amendment to this Pension Funds Act, basically seeking to allow members of pension funds to obtain loans and use their retirement fund credits as backing. And the pension fund in question would provide a guarantee to the bank. Currently, the Pension Funds Act 1956 allows members to obtain home loans supported by a pension fund guarantee. And, the same applies apparently for the public sector pension funds that are legislated separately, like Government Employees Pension Fund and the Transnet Retirement Fund. And to help us navigate this issue is Nicholas Ndlovu, who is a regulatory lawyer. Nicholas, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening, Tabiso. I'm well, thanks to you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. In simple terms, just explain to us, what are we talking about here in terms of this, this proposed amendment to the Pension Fund Act, so that we are all on the same page.
Oh, okay. So I'm sure you're aware that, the impact of COVID-19 on the country's finances and individual households' finances has been quite dire. Mm. So there's been a proposal, we will call it a private member's bill, by one of the MPs. So a private member's bill, it just basically means that a piece of law has been proposed or is intended to be proposed by a member of parliament, but not a minister or a member of cabinet. So that's why it's referred to as a private member's bill. Mm. This particular bill is by Dr. Dion George of the Democratic Alliance. And it's let's call it a notional perspective, seeks to go along the lines of the current wording in the Pension Funds Act, like you mentioned earlier, that the Act can, or rather provides, that a fund may grant or guarantee a housing loan to its members for the sake of meeting the genuine housing needs, alterations, renovations, etc. So now the mindset seems to be to increase or rather broaden that capacity to loans outside out of the home loan space. Mm. Right now, we don't know exactly how it would look in its final form. And that's why also in this notice that was gazetted on the 18th of September, public representation has been called for, so that, members of the public like yourselves and other members of pension funds across the country, yeah, and stakeholders may make some input on that.
Yeah. So does this specifically speak to pension fund? Because there are some people that have been saying that, I've got a retirement fund and I've been paying retirement fund for quite a while, but I'm told that I cannot take any money up until the date that which I'm supposed to be accessing it.
Yes. So that would possibly be referring to something like a retirement annuity, for example, where unlike a lot of the people who work work for a particular employer, that particular employer has chosen through your employment contract that my employees must be part of this fund, and every month contributions will be deducted from their salaries, and perhaps the employer will also make contributions, and it will go to that pension or provident fund. Now, retirement annuity would work for people who either wants to bolster whatever they're already saving, or individuals who maybe, but sorry, to piece job, they work here and there, or are freelancers, etc., or even business owners, or people who receive, let's say, like rental income, etc., and they also want to put something away for their futures. So in that case, the retirement annuity strategy is quite different and also quite stringent in that regard, because it has factored into, also in addition to the tax benefits that the member would get, it has factored into the position of that member that sometimes there is no contribution that comes in. So in those cases, it will be something that is potentially unlikely, because the Act doesn't say, under a housing loan perspective, that this must be done. It just says that it's open to the strategy of the funders, et cetera.
Yeah. Let's talk about the risk factors, because there's always a risk, isn't it? What are the risk factors that we are likely to see associated with this possibility of amendments?
So the one that comes to mind for me is time, and I say time because we already have been dealing with a sort of like a ticking time bomb, in inverted commas, economic situation, and you've seen Parliament on TV, or in fact, I'm sure you've had discussions and reported on what happens there, an engagement that goes on. So the major risk here is that this might take quite some time for us to even find out if it's going to happen or not. The other issue is that the current wording it does need some input to correct. So if you implement it as it is, there will be some issues. So now, with the current wording being as it is, you're going to have a lot of people who need to provide some input. Your professionals like actuaries, fund accountants, big industry pension funds as well, unions and other stakeholders, and also members. And then obviously then you go have to look at the position of the various other political parties who will be making an input. So, and also when you consider that this is, I don't know how else to put it, but you can also look at it as sort of like it's a social mechanism of trying to alleviate a pressure that exists now. But it's also trying to cater for a situation that is similar to this in the future, because there's wording in the notice that talks about alleviating financial pressure during the COVID-19 emergency any other emergency similar to COVID-19. So as a lawyer, I would want to say, what do you mean any other emergency? Because that can be open to interpretation by different portions of our society.
Yeah. Where do you think interest would lie in as far as those perceived emergencies, though, generally speaking?
So it is, like I said, it's quite, and I don't want to, overstep from where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
I personally believe that in society, our medicine, or we can always use the law to find ways to resolve issues and build our bridges, etc. So in this case, it will rest on the buy-in, I suppose, and let's call it, in inverted commas, a working together approach. And because time is not on our side, because of the socioeconomic and financial pressures that continue to be faced by people, it would also require an element of selflessness and, in inverted commas, a service approach, because we must be mindful of the fact that a large component of even members of these pension funds are not au fait with financial literacy and information, and also what the full spectrum of their benefits are, and the access to certain things that is espoused or composed within their own pension funds. So it will require that those who are going to be, let's call it, selected to represent the views of various people and stakeholders are selfless in that process, because we are dealing with something that is quite technical and also very fragile.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be, get into a situation where we also have to go to court, for example, to undo things that were done a few years down the line.
It sounds like something that will take quite a while as well, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to be sounding pessimistic, but a few days ago I heard a lawyer who said to a judge, if you ever ask a lawyer how much time they need and they say X amount of time, you must multiply that between 2 and 4. So in an ideal world, you would think hopefully by sometime around December, this draft is already made public and we can look at a hard copy that we can sort of play with. And maybe at some point the president would sit with it in front of him and sign it. But there are processes in place. So this proposed amendment would also have to speak to those issues that, Parliament at a National Assembly level would have to be aligned. The National Council of Provinces would have to be aligned. And I mean aligned in the sense of how is this going to get to a point where we say yes or no, and does it go sit in front of the president for him to sign into law or not? And the other thing we have to think about is that pension funds would have to amend their rules if they want to allow this to happen. And you have to consider now the indebtedness and the financial position of individual or the credit worthiness rather of individual members of the public. So there's some sort of a ricochet or rippling effect, if you would like, when it comes to.
So this is not a temporary thing; it's a permanent thing, despite the fact that it speaks to the consequences of COVID-19.
Correct. Well, I would say so, because when you look at the way it is crafted, when it says it wants to deal with COVID-19 emergency or any other emergency similar, so we can juxtapose, dire financial consequences caused by certain events. Like, for example, certain provinces in our country suffer from flooding, for example. Those things, like I said earlier, you then can turn it around and say, well, actually, the financial consequences that come from that can be compared to somewhat of a COVID-19 scenario.
Well, Nicholas, thank you so much. It sounds like not such an easy thing, but it sounds like something that will hopefully bring about some sort of intervention because of the situation that we find ourselves in as a country. Thank you so much, sir, for your time. Much appreciated. And thanks for your lucid explanations as well in some of these issues.
Of course. Thank you very much, Tabiso, and thank you so much for the time and for your listeners for paying attention. And I do encourage that they do approach Parliament and or email the speaker at speaker@parliament.gov.za and submit their representations.
Thank you so much. That's Nicholas Ndlovu there speaking to us, regulatory lawyer, about the proposed amendments to the Pension Funds Act.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.